Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, and God damn it, I know what day it is.
Hey-o, it's the birthday.
May 10th, that is my birthday. Yes. I was born in 1960. If you guys, for many of you, it's ancient history.
Look at me. I didn't say that.
No, I'm telling you.
They weren't dinosaurs.
But I'm officially, I guess, the hippie generation. I don't know. People have been calling me that.
Yeah.
For liking pubic hair, by the way. So there you go, you know? That's what... That's why they think I'm a hippie.
Hippie dippies. Well, you grew up in the 70s.
I did. Yeah. I did. But the hippie movement was more the 60s, early 70s, right?
Yeah.
I was more like, I was younger then.
Yeah.
But yeah, my teenage years, I lived here as opposed to having come from Israel. And and started partying rather soon after.
When you're a hippie in the 70s in Vegas, like that's the coolest thing you could be.
Right?
Like, I could only every hipster out there is just pretending to be a hippie from the 70s, from Vegas. You know what I mean?
I mean, you know what was like the coolest thing was like vans. You know, people would get
people loved vans back then. Why do people love vans?
Because they would put water beds in the back. And regular beds or something,
so
you know, like a mattress.
Like a love machine. I see.
We would play 8-track tapes. I mean, those were so brief in history, nobody even knew they existed.
Oh, I know 8-tracks.
As opposed to a cassette tape.
Oh, I know 8-tracks were right before that. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, those vans are now very like. Vans have now somehow equal creepy when you see a van and you're like, get in. You're like, no, I'm not getting into a creepy van. But back then, they were very much the hip.
They did, and they had a lot of cool art outside and stuff,
they
big wheels.
The van back.
Yeah. I know, man. Those were like mobile hotel rooms.
That's why it's creepy now.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right?
That's exactly why it's now not good.
Yeah, different times. Definitely different times.
Yeah. And everyone was a lot more, like even when you can do hitchhiking back then was like, okay.
Yeah.
Like that's not.
It was. It was okay.
That's like, I think I came out of the womb and my mom was like, don't ever hitchhike. Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
I got Uber.
I know a lot of people, I don't know many people that hitchhike anymore, you know.
No, but, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah.
Used to be very common.
I know. I got to tell you that in Israel, they still pick up hitchhikers because a lot of them are soldiers, you know.
Oh, sure.
And they don't have time to wait for the bus or whatever. I mean, that's the way it used to be.
Right.
I think now it's a lot different.
Now, you said in Israel, they don't do the thumb out. You do your finger?
Your index finger, yeah.
Like you're pointing at something.
Yeah, you're pointing sideways, kind of.
Okay, like a bike. Like I'm going left.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Just in case I'm in Israel, I need a ride.
You need a ride.
I feel like that's
good
to know.
But the point is, it used to be pretty safe, but now with terrorists and stuff, it's not that, you know, because they do pretend to be soldiers.
Yeah, you can just put on a, pull over, let's pick up Joe Schmo.
I know.
Yeah.
So we do have an incredible guest in the studio, and we'll get to her in just a moment. Just a couple things. I guess if you were under a rock, then then Comey, who is our FBI director?
Yes.
Is no longer the FBI director, right? He was you're fired.
Yeah. I wrote on Twitter, another one leaves the boardroom. Coming up next on Celebrity the President.
Oh, good.
He was fired in a letter from Donald Trump, which it's in itself is very strange. Usually the president doesn't fire. He can, but it doesn't usually come from the president. So
really?
This is directly.
So who would it come with if he had to fire the FBI?
Probably from the Department of Justice or something from the Intelligence Committee. Yeah, there's like, this is rare. And it says, and not only is it on his letterhead with him signed, it says, while I greatly appreciate you informing me on 3 separate occasions that I'm not under investigation. So he could not make it more clear that it was him firing Comey. So it just begs a lot of questions. And that today we woke up to a Twitter storm by Mr. Trump. And Henry Kissinger was in the Oval Office.
I see that.
Yeah.
And, wow.
And the Russian Prime Minister. was also meeting with Trump. And guess who didn't post that? Any of the White House? The Russians did. So Trump didn't want that optics going through. It could not look more weird. It could not look more sketchy. CNN just came out like 5 minutes ago saying Comey had just asked for more money for the Russia investigation. And now you fire the guy. I mean, everything smells fishy. It's like a whole aquarium in there. It's so fishy. And at some point now, both Democrats and Republicans are going to ask for an independent special prosecutor, which means any luck that you had with Comey as being on your side is gone. You're going to have a lawyer from neither side that doesn't like you. He couldn't have done a worse thing for him, because it's now going to be an independent prosecutor who's going to take, and the Russia thing's going to blow up. So it was just weird. It was just another dumb move. And in my head, I keep saying he wants to get caught.
Yeah.
He wants out of there.
Maybe. I don't know. But, you know, I was talking to a guy last night, and I invited him on the show because he's a staunch Republican, okay?
Okay. And I need to be there, obviously.
Yeah. And he needs to, and he...
is he for Trump?
Yeah.
Really?
He was walking with a hat with Trump on it. I said, "Are you not afraid?" He's like, "Fuck no." He was a child actor, you know. And,
yeah, okay.
So he gets away with shit.
Yeah, wow.
But at any rate, we should bring him on the show. He's very passionate. And maybe we could like have a conversation.
I mean,
right?
I think everyone would tune in, because I have yet to meet someone that will legitimately debate me, not through Republican and conservative policies, but on specifically Trump as president.
Right.
No
right.
one can back that up. Not even the staunchest GOP strategist I meet with on Fox.
Yeah.
I have yet to meet someone that will do that. And I know a bunch of listeners like, I'll do it. I mean a legitimate policy-based factual debate.
Right. That's what we'll do.
Yeah.
You know,
let's hear why you're wearing that hat.
Yeah. I know.
But you know what? I encourage that. I just don't, if it's not nasty and it's in
it
a
would
debate,
never be nasty.
Then that's fine.
He's the nicest guy ever.
There you go.
And so we'll have, so we'll bring him in maybe next week or
that
something.
Sounds great.
Do like a political show.
I think that's phenomenal.
I'll just be like the referee here.
I think you didn't know.
Because I don't feel as strongly as he does.
Yeah.
You know?
Or I do. No, I think it's very interesting because you have both Republicans and Democrats, and usually right now it's so polarized. But you have both sides being like, really? You fired the guy who was making you under investigation? It just looks really bad.
I know. Well, he does do a lot of unprecedented things, but...
Unprecedented?
Unprecedented.
No, I thought you said... No, just kidding.
Didn't he write unprecedented once?
Yes.
Right?
Yes. The man doesn't want to be president. And Conan O'Brien's joke last night was so on point. He goes... Trump fired Comey. I guess he never got over Comey making him president, because he's like pissed that he's president.
I know. This guy helped him become president.
Oh, he kissed him. Remember that photo op when he went in to like hug him and there was a weird kiss? The man embraced him like Judas. It was weird. And this was only a few months. That was 100 days ago. So,
But that's politics, right? I mean, alignments change.
No way. No? Not like this. And I was saying to my friends last night, I'm from D.C., so I know politics. And it is like up and down. This is chaotic beyond belief. I mean, and so you don't fire that. Now we don't have an FBI director in the midst of a... investigation, and we're in the midst of like trying to take down ISIS, and you just have a lot of questions, and it's a lot of chaos for a place that likes predictability. It really doesn't like this upturn, and what the weird thing is, the Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who could also have fired him, has recused himself for the Russia investigation because he himself is under investigation for Russia. However, he said he recommended the firing, but now people are like, but you said you recused yourself. He's like, oh, I did. I wasn't there. So not only do you have an attorney general that can't help, you now have to go to the deputy attorney general because the attorney general himself is under investigation. I mean, this is like, I feel like I'm watching Veep. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they say people aren't watching Veep because it's too real.
Too real?
It's like, this is so fucked up. Like, this is crazy. So, and then to sit with Kissinger the next day for a photo op, who's been really an architect of a lot of terrible human crimes. So it's just...
Kissinger?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You feel that way.
Well, they're calling this very Nixonian. Look, the New York Times calls it echoes of Watergate. Kissinger was the architect, was with Nixon during Watergate. So why sit with the guy?
Right. But he did a lot of great things, too, in the world. You know, I mean,
Kissinger did. But like Bernie Sanders says, you don't necessarily want him as your foreign policy advisor. He said that to Hillary Clinton, who also had sat with Kissinger. He's a polarizing figure.
Okay. Well, I don't agree. I don't agree. I lived during the time when he was doing things. And I don't know. I've always looked up to him. I've read several of his books. I don't tend to think that.
Okay. That's okay. That's fine. I'm saying if you don't want to act like Watergate, the next day you write a letter firing someone, don't have Kissinger, Kissinger next to you. Everyone's calling him Nixonian, and then he brings Kissinger out, who was Nixon's secretary. So what I'm saying is it seems very confusing to me and baffling and bizarre. But what this means is now, who will be in charge of the Russian investigation? It will be an independent prosecutor, some lawyer that is going to be very fair and biased. So
that's the only way to do it,
right?
I think,
you know? So I don't know why he did that, because he had a little pull, it seemed, with Comey, but now it's going to be a completely unbiased
thing. Yeah, that's true.
So he kind of put his foot in his mouth again.
But it wasn't going to go away anyway. So,
but he had Comey a little bit under his thumb.
Right.
Now it's going to be someone like he can't control, and it's outside of the Department of Justice. So
yeah. Well, we'll see what happens.
I know.
A lot of news, folks. A lot of news.
So stay tuned. Stay tuned. And yeah, it's very, all of it's very strange. So and it was the, and now we just learned he did ask for more money yesterday, Comey, for the Russian investigation, and then he gets fired the next day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the media is all over this, but you know. At any rate, folks, let's move on with the show now that we know where we stand politically for today, at least. Right?
We're confused, as always.
Every
we're
day.
Confused.
Every day brings new stuff with it. We're going to be joined now by Katie Amos. An English actress and model. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. And I'm very impressed that you pronounced my name properly.
He's good with names.
Well, of
First
course.
Time ever.
He's a good,
really?
He's good with names.
Yeah.
What, they call you like a mess or something?
That was the joke.
That's
in
terrible.
School, Katie Amos.
A mess. Wow.
What is that? How does it spell?
A-M-E-S-S.
Oh. So I would have said Amos.
Amos.
Yeah. I think normally it's just with one S on the end. The two S's throw people off.
Okay.
Right.
It's a good conversation starter, though.
Yeah. But with one S, would it be Ames?
That's what I
maybe.
Thought.
Yeah, I think. But still, I mean, it's maybe in England it would be Amos. I don't know.
Yeah, I never see anybody with the two S's. I think it's quite.
Yeah. What is the, is your background English too? Is it an English name?
Yeah, but my old agent actually told me that it was a Jewish rabbi's name.
Whoa.
So she's trying to say that I must be from Jewish heritage, but
that's
member of the tribe, baby.
But that's A-M-O-S.
I don't know. She said there was a famous rabbi spelled that way.
Oh,
so.
Oh wow. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Never met that rabbi, but maybe he's there somewhere.
Great. I like it. I love this.
Awesome. So, before we go into this, I wanted to describe the studio when I came in this morning. We came in and Katie was with me coming up the elevator, and I'm opening the door and all the lights are on, everything. I'm like, what's going on here? You know what? They forgot to turn on the lights.
Uh-oh.
Or maybe somebody was here. So I'm walking in and I got like a cake and muffins and flowers. I mean,
muffins? Those are cupcakes.
Cupcakes, I mean.
They're way better than muffins.
Yeah. I got
red roses.
Wow. I mean, what is that, right?
And a balloon?
Yeah, and a balloon. So, and a card with a heart on it. So, there you go.
I definitely came on the right day.
Yeah, you
right,
did.
You know? Yeah, there you go. Someone cares, right?
Yes.
There you go. I got a few texts this morning. And I think everybody, I actually hit over 100 likes on my birthday. I never hit 100 likes on anything I put up. So there you go. You know,
everyone, you feel on Facebook, especially on social media, I don't know if Katie agrees, you do feel real good about yourself.
Right.
People will write to you haven't heard from in years.
Right. Or people you don't even know.
I get like 300 people writing me.
And you don't hear from them again.
Never.
Until the next birthday.
Never. I'm like, they're still alive?
I know. Or what about the people that write you like a personal birthday message on on Facebook, and they do it every year.
I mean,
you don't even know who they are, but I click on it. I see, they wished me the same thing.
Yeah,
years and years
it's
back.
Very interesting. People take birthdays very seriously.
They do, right?
And so they should.
I agree.
Yeah, I know. And I was telling her, my family, we never really took birthdays that seriously. I mean, as kids, but I don't know why. My dad never made a big deal out of it.
Oh, really? Oh,
maybe because he was raised that way, too. You
it
know?
Was just a joy.
Yeah, I
just
know.
Just a lot of weird cake, creepy clowns, uncomfortable princesses. Loved it. Very weird.
Wow. Well,
when
you know
born?
What?
When were you born?
July 19.
Oh, coming up, summer.
So it was... My birthday is like the hugest event out of the year for me.
Wow,
literally.
There you go. That's the way it should be, right?
Yeah,
and we always broke up from school that day as well, or around that day. So
it was a big party.
All the kids loved it.
Oh,
Really?
Yeah.
Everyone's like, Kartik! That's amazing.
That's awesome. So where in England did you grow up?
So I'm actually from Essex, which is right next to London. It's the southeast of London. And I was born in a place called Basildon. I lived there till I was about 12, and then we moved to Southend-on-Sea, which is a little seaside town.
Wow.
Yeah, beautiful.
Really?
Seaside town. An English seaside town. Yeah. God.
That would be cool, right?
Oh, my God. I'm going to Ireland in 2 weeks.
You are?
Yeah.
And I never went to Ireland.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll take you.
I would love to.
I mean, I can't afford it, but still, it's very exciting to go to Ireland. But I want to go to a seaside village because, like, who doesn't want to do that?
That's true, yeah.
The quintessentially English thing with all the shipping boats. Ugh. And they like go out and dig for cockles and mussels.
Did you wear those like sweaters and stuff when it's cold? And,
yeah.
And it's the boots when it's raining. Yeah. It's, oh.
Yeah.
You're like a J. Crew ad I'm obsessed with. You know what I mean? You're the J. Crew bottle I want to be. That's amazing. Awesome.
So now you, do you have any siblings?
Did
you
grow up with siblings? Oh, I do. I have an older brother and then three younger sisters.
Oh, fun. Oh, okay.
And I am obsessed with my family.
Really?
Literally, I'm so close with all my sisters and
how
my brother.
How cool is that, right?
Yeah. Love them so much. Yeah, like, we're all best friends.
You never, that's very rare to hear, but that is so cool.
Well, they don't necessarily get on with each other. But I get but on with you all do, of right? Them. Yeah.
Are you the Switzerland of the family?
Absolutely.
You're the peacemaker.
And I'm the oldest girl as well. So
that's good.
That's right. You were like the firstborn in a way.
Yeah. Well, yeah, my brother is, he's like 14 months older, but he always says I'm the oldest.
Really?
Yeah. Right. You're the matriarch of that family.
Yeah, definitely.
So now, is your brother very good with being around a gazillion females?
He hates it.
Yeah, okay, because you're either great with it and you become very like comfortable, yeah, or you're like, I can't stand
it's annoying for him. And he was always trying to get me to play cricket and football and do Olympic sports with him that I had no interest in whatsoever.
That's hilarious.
Guys, I'm gonna take a break because I forgot my coffee in the other room. Okay,
cool.
But I did want to ask you, So you moved at 12, right? You moved to that seaside thing. Wow. Now, was that difficult for you to move and leave your friends and everything? Because I know at that age, I mean, by the time I was 12, we had moved three times, you know? And it's hard, right?
I mean, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And that was just by the time I was 12.
Jeez. Three times?
Yeah, near Tel Aviv, but different houses, which meant different schools. 12
is a big year, too. Like, that's an important year.
Yeah.
Right. So was that difficult for you? Do you remember?
Yeah, I do remember. It was really hard because I'd done 1 year at high school, and then I had to switch over to another high school. And the girls weren't that, it was an all-girls school, a Roman Catholic school, and they weren't that nice to start off.
Oh. Yeah. And then it's pretty blonde, like, hey!
Well, I don't know if I was a pretty blonde back then. Overweight and geeky.
Were you really?
That's yeah.
So funny.
And my uniform from the first school was awful. It was this knee-length brown skirt with like a brown and yellow striped blazer.
Oh, that's really that's very flattering.
Yeah, it was disgusting. And when I turned up for the first day, like to integrate me into the other school, everybody was taking the mickey out of me, which in America, I guess you say, like, what do you say?
I see that to me. I studied in Oxford and I lived in Italy for a while, so I know that.
Oh,
but
wow.
I know, but I've only learned taking a mickey. I've learned from my studies, but people don't know it. It's hilarious.
What would you say here?
You're playing a prank.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you're picking fun.
Yeah.
Kind of like that. Taking a mickey out of.
Yeah.
I think that's the coolest thing ever.
Whoa.
I wonder if it comes from Mickey Mouse.
I don't know. I think it's a purely like a UK British thing.
Yeah.
Taking the mickey out of someone.
Because I say so many things here, and I think nobody actually knows what I'm.
That's right. We just nod.
You think that's bad? You bring some people from Asia and they're like, they smile to you. Yeah.
Right.
They understand nothing. It happened to me the other day, you know? And then I realized these people were just visiting from Japan. They couldn't speak a word of English.
But they're very polite.
Right.
Very polite.
Like, not tell you, I don't understand what you're saying.
No, they're very polite.
So that's funny.
I'd rather you laugh and be okay and smile than tell me you don't know what I'm
saying.
Yeah,
right?
Fine with
look
me.
At you weird.
Yeah, it's fine. So you went. When did you get into, if you were geeky, overweight, and like made the mickey, taken the mickey out of, when did you get the confidence to start acting and modeling?
So basically, When I was five, I was watching Three Men and a Little Lady.
Steve Guttenberg was my crush from that
I
time.
Liked, was it Tom Selleck?
Obviously. Everyone liked Tom Selleck. I liked the one no one liked.
That's
the
so
cartoonist.
Funny. Yeah.
The, no one liked him, but I still like Guttenberg.
Yeah. Who was the third guy?
Ted Danson.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I totally
and people liked
remember.
Him, but no one wanted my guy. Anyway, keep going, my love.
But a lot of people like him, though.
Yeah, Goot?
Yeah, Guttenberg. Yeah,
big,
I love him. He's good.
First crush.
He hasn't been around for a while, though, right?
Yeah, he's trying.
Yeah, he's trying.
Yeah, he's coming back. I believe it.
So at age of five, you saw that movie.
So I kept watching that over and over, and I said, I want to be the little girl that
was she's
Mary.
British. Yeah, she's British.
No, I don't think she was British. The mum was
the
British.
The mum, but didn't they take her to England?
They did. They took her to England. So I would watch it on repeat. I was like obsessed with it. I wanted to change my hair to brown because she had brown hair. And then I told my dad, oh, I really want to be an actress. So I was always into it, but I wasn't necessarily... I wasn't that overweight. I'm just...
Yeah, you were just know it was awkward. I went through a very bad stage.
I wasn't the coolest.
Yeah, no. At one point, I had two retainers, sports goggles, and an asymmetrical bowl haircut.
Oh.
And someone pointed, a little kid, and cried monster, and then ran.
Oh,
I was
my
like,
God.
I was like, Mom, what's wrong? And she's like, just keep walking.
God.
We all go through those.
What a confidence booster, huh?
Yeah. I was terrifying as a child.
Oh.
Had a lot of hardware going on. But yeah, you blossom at different times.
Yeah, and then... basically, when I was about seven in school, my teacher said that I was really shy and that I should try going to the drama class.
Mm.
So I went to the drama class and I absolutely loved it. And then I would get my sisters to put on plays with me for our family. And they were definitely not as into that as I was. And I always got to play the lead as well.
We did that. We had two chairs set up and a fake ticket. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. And then I just started doing like all the high school productions and... I did a show at the Millennium Dome in the year 2000. That was like a huge thing because they auditioned people, well, children from all of the schools in the area, and only like one from every five schools got to be in it, and I was chosen. So that was like a huge thing.
Yeah.
And then I ended up getting an agent and started auditioning, and then I really got into it.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So you had the support from your family?
Yeah, my family, my mum and dad, always tell me I can do whatever I want to do. They never kind of... told me anything that I should do in life. They're just like, just do the best you can and do what makes you happy.
Yeah,
that's how you parent. I mean, that's really how you support and parents say you do whatever you makes you happy.
Yeah, I think because there was five of us, it was a lot to manage.
Yeah, you're like, do whatever you want. See you later.
Yeah, and they don't do anything to do with the industry either. So
yeah, well, that's very fortunate for you to have had that support, because many parents are like, get a real job.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah,
which also makes sense.
Yeah,
they would never say that. And even when I said I'm moving to LA, they're like, oh, fun. Good luck.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So at what point did you decide to move to LA? I mean, so you started getting like modeling and acting jobs and stuff?
Yeah. So when I was about 18, I got, maybe even younger, I got a professional agent and I started doing TV commercials for like Nintendo and Premier Inn, which is a huge hotel chain, and loads of different companies. And then basically I then graduated from school, and I went to the Royal Central School of Speech and Drama in London, which is, it actually just got voted the top drama school in London above RADA and Guildhall and all of them.
Wow. And their drama is a big deal, right?
Oh,
I mean, theater and
we
all that.
We keep hiring
stuff.
Their actors.
Yeah. And it's such a great school because, like, Laurence Olivier went there and Dame Judi Dench and Vanessa and Lynn Redgrave. So it was.
So you got good education.
Amazing education. Wow. I had the best time. But I studied mainly theatre there, and I knew that I really kind of wanted to do TV and film. So then one of my friends that was on the course with me, she told me she was going to come to LA to do a TV and film course. I was like, I'm coming.
Wow,
yeah,
a cool thing. Yeah. So you decided right
then and there. We stayed here for 3 months because we only had a tourist visa after our acting for screen intensive was over. We could only stay a certain amount of time. So then I went back to England for 3 years. She stayed here, I think, the whole time. And I went back because I had to save up money to get a visa here and then to pay for a green card. So,
but she didn't let it stop her?
No, not at all. I went back and I did more commercials and a few films and some TV shows. And then I saved up all the money by myself.
Wow.
There
and
you
then
go.
I came
so,
back.
Although you seem to be a pretty fortunate person from the beginning, you still worked hard to get to where you are.
I made every single cent myself. That's why it took me 3 years, because I was wow. trying to save up the money.
And there's times where there wasn't, you weren't getting them. So it's like these downtime.
Yeah, I worked for a charity part-time as well. It's a great organisation. It's called Shelter. It works with homeless people in London. And I helped them with their children's team. And also I got to go into some of the prisons and work wow. with the prisoners that were coming out and were trying to be rehoused.
Wow.
Yeah. So you're like a good person too. Well, damn it. She's good. She's got a halo.
Mother Teresa,
she's like, I hate when these people walk in. Good. And I'm like, wow, her makeup's on point, her hair's on point. And I was like, God, and she's cute. Yeah. That's when I'm like, I can't win.
And talented and nice and, so like, and kind.
And I also worked for a charity bartender.
Yeah.
I have one kidney because one went to an orphan in India. Yeah. I'm like, damn it. Damn it, Tori. What have you done lately?
Wow. Well, everybody in his own way. I think we're each one for his own journey here, you know. If we start comparing ourselves to other people, there's no end to that, you know.
Comparing is a deadly, deadly spiral that does not end.
It doesn't end. No. You know, you're just poisoning yourself.
Yeah.
And there's no, it doesn't make any, because it's like, we both drive in different cars and each one is going in a different direction. You know, what's the point of being, jealous of him or something because he's got a nice car or something? Yeah, but maybe he's going to a funeral or something, you know?
Whoa,
you
way to know. Take that metaphor to like another level.
Yeah, there
like
you go.
The backstory on that was really good. My Pema, my teacher, my Buddhist, I'm studying Buddhism because I obviously have a problem with comparison, so I'm trying to get better. People study Buddhism when they're not doing well, I feel like. And she says being jealous of someone is poisoning yourself and thinking they're going to get sick.
That's true, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
It makes you very, not only does it make you, it doesn't do anything for them. Right. It really, really poisons you. And
that's
I'm like,
what they say about resentment,
taking
right?
that poison. Oh.
Yeah. It's all these things. Resentment, you know, that's like
taking shooting a
poison.
Bow and arrow to you.
Right.
In your heart and thinking you
because they
them.
Don't even know.
Yeah.
So think about that for a while before you guys start being jealous of everybody, you know what I mean? Out
and
there.
There's a line that says, in the end, the race is long, but in the end, it's only with yourself. So I've always thought that's good, too, because, like, there can be competitive race, but there's no one else on the lane, and that makes it easier.
Right.
That's true, especially in L.A. and especially with
acting as well.
But I do see myself every day getting in my own way, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, sometimes God puts something right in front of my face, and I, like, don't see it, you know? You got to be aware. You got to take steps in life. You got to take risks.
And
I think,
I don't know if Katie agrees with me, but like when you are an actor, you're so used to taking risks because every day is a full blown jumping off a cliff for real that you tend to be more risk taking person. I feel like if you're going to do like when I do stand up or if you're going to go to an audition, you have to be pretty brave to like
That's
be able to
true.
Do that.
Yeah, that's true.
And you have to be able to also face rejection because for every part that you get, you're probably not going to get 3 or 4 or 5 or 6
or like 20, right. like 60, like right. Like, right.
And it's so easy to kind of sit in the waiting room and see all the different girls that look exactly like you.
This is what I was going to ask. So my thing is have you seen La La Land? I don't know if you've seen it. And there's a montage where Emma Stone goes through all the auditioning in LA and it's all the same looking girls that look exactly like, and it is just awful. So what is your coping mechanism when you're in LA in a waiting room and everyone looks exactly like you? It's like going to a job interview, but you see everyone else interviewing for the job and they all look cooler than you,
right?
And they have cooler technology or somehow. What is your coping, like what do you do?
Well, I think that everything is fate, so either you've got what they want for the part or you haven't. So there's no point comparing yourself to the other girls because your essence, your being is different from every single one of them. So it's either they want that or they don't.
That's true.
And when my friends are getting like freaked out before auditions and things, I always tell them, you're either it or you're not.
Wow.
But it's so funny because especially being British in LA, you see the same people.
Yeah, over and over again.
And now we're all friends.
Yeah, I know
I'm
my
like,
friends.
Oh my God, you got the audition as well. Good to see you.
Like now that I'm here almost 10 years, I'm like, oh, Amy, hey. Yeah. Like we all go to the same auditions too. Yeah.
That's so funny.
Nice
because then you become supportive of each other
very
instead
much
of
so.
In competition.
And then when you're on Facebook and they don't get a part or they do get a part, you're not like, damn it.
Mm.
You're like writing something supportive.
Yeah.
I agree
with
that.
So it's really nice to have, because I'm really lucky in LA. I've got a really strong supportive network around me. So it would definitely be harder without finding, you know, your close-knit circle of friends here.
Yeah. That's hard everywhere, I think, when you move to a new place.
Yeah.
But especially in L.A., people mm-hmm. do complain about being lonely and stuff. It's hard to connect when people, first of all, are so busy.
Yeah.
Secondly, everybody's so self-involved with themselves. Yeah.
And very competitive. That's the feeling here is, like, if you can't handle that, then don't move here.
Yeah, you have to have a strong skin because if not, it can break you down. That's why you just have to be happy in yourself and just trust your journey and that it's going to be okay. Enjoy the process as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
That's very true. That's what Buddhism is like. Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. I'm a secret Buddhist.
I think you kind of are. I'm like, who are you, Mother Teresa? Jesus.
With the halo. Yeah,
I know. My God.
Yeah. At least, maybe, if not Mother Teresa, at least Princess Diana or something, right?
I mean,
wasn't she like awesome?
You know what? I got to meet her.
Oh, of course you
what?
Did.
Oh.
I did. And I actually have met two of the popes.
Jesus.
How did that happen?
Tell us about Diana
detail,
first.
Yeah.
So basically, my dad is a British politician and he had invited Princess Diana to come to this opening of a local hospice mm-hmm. and so I was like I guess like 6 or 7 and we got all dressed up, all of us girls had to wear matching outfits that I think my mum had actually made for us.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and we all got to meet Princess Diana and she was just literally a saint, beautiful and so kind.
Her aura must have been amazing.
Yeah, but I really want to marry Prince Harry.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Okay, yeah. So agreed.
We can make that happen.
We can. I really feel like we could make. Now he is dating someone
and she's very beautiful
and she's darling and she's cool, but that guy is
he's
the
so
dreamiest
hot. I know, and I never used to think it,
but he's gotten really cute.
Yeah, right?
He's kind of foxier than William a little bit.
I used to be
a William fan,
really,
and I'm now a Middleton fan because I love that Kate, but I'm Harry. What are you doing to
Harry's
me?
Harry's more rugged.
Yes,
he's more my type.
He's like a cowboy.
He's more like down to earth.
Yeah,
more approachable maybe because he's shown his flaws, I think, right?
He also like when he hugs children like there's a photo of him like rocking and cradling a sick child, very much like Diana. Like he reminds me a lot of Diana when he holds children. He touches people, and I mean like literally holds them. And a lot of politicians are like here, they're like hello
and then
like disappearing and disaffecting. So he just and he also is in the military and he does really courageous things. Yeah, he's a hottie.
Yeah, definitely.
He is a hunter.
But I haven't met him yet.
Oh, come on. We got to make this happen.
Well, you live closer to him than we do, so maybe you'll meet him.
Well, no, because I live in LA.
Yeah,
you
should live here.
Oh, yeah, that's true, right?
But when I go back to England, I go back a lot. So.
Exactly. Tell him, look, I'm a lot closer than when I was in LA, you know. Please give me a break.
That's I'm not
incredible.
Sure Megan would be happy.
No.
With that.
She's so darling, too.
I couldn't compete with that.
Man. You can, trust me, you can, but I'm happy for him. And they seem happy. He seems like a happy guy. Yeah.
Yeah. So you made yourself to LA and pretty young, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you haven't really, had you been alone on your own before you moved to LA? Like when you were in England?
Well, I did live in London by myself some of the time and then I stayed with my grandma the rest of the time.
Okay, but here you're moving to a new country. You had to live by yourself. Did you move in with your friend?
So actually, I was really lucky because one of the girls that was on the
lucky team, again.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, sorry.
It's all luck. Jesus.
You see, you had to come here
for.
Can
you rub up against me like it's some kind of amulet?
Yeah, like stardust.
Like a talisman.
Well, one of the girls that was in my acting for screen course, who was lovely. She's half German, half Turkish. She'd stayed here the whole time that I'd gone back to England, and she was looking for a new place when I was looking to move here.
Mm-hmm.
So we were looking online to find apartments, and I found one. I said, I don't know if this is a good area or not, but it's an amazing area.
Of course.
And so she went and viewed the apartment, made a YouTube video and sent me the private link, and she was like, we have to move in here. So she picked me up from LAX and drove me straight to my new apartment.
Wow.
And did rose petals follow you on the ground?
Red carpet.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we've been
cool.
in that apartment ever since, and that's about 6.5 years ago.
Wow.
Very cool. So you've been here for a while now. This is home for you now.
Yeah, I go backwards and forwards a lot. For example, I went 3 times to England since October and December.
Wow.
Which I'm really fortunate.
Was that for work?
Yeah, for work and family things.
Yeah.
And
so it's funny because you come here to act and then they send you back to England, right? To film.
Yeah, and I've been to New York twice to work. And the only time I've ever been to Scotland was to go to Edinburgh to do a show there.
Mm. I'm reading a romance novel that takes place in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Really?
Gotta tell you, it's real good looking. Real nice little romance novel there. It's always taking place in like the Irish cliffs of Moher or something, or Scotland.
And I really want to go to Ireland, like you were saying.
Yeah.
But I just auditioned for a TV show that would see me filming in Ireland, so I really want to book it. So
all right, you will, obviously. Obviously, she will.
We'll see.
So how is it? How did you find an agent here?
I was very proactive. I'm like so business orientated. So as soon as I got here, I started sending out headshots and resumes and inviting them to productions that I was doing. And then I ended up booking what was going to be a huge play at the Geffen Playhouse.
Wow, of course.
Mm-hmm. And William Friedkin was directing it and Tim Roth was in it.
Wow.
Yeah, so after I booked that, I was able to sign to a really good management company who I'm still with now.
No, and like, how did you do that? Did you reach out and say, hey, I got this, can you help me out? Or did they come to you?
Some people came to me and some people I reached out to.
I see. Actually
the one who I ended up signing with and who I'm with now, I reached out to them.
And said, hey, I got this part with Tim Roth and the Geffen. Okay.
Yeah, and so they phoned me right away and they said they wanted to come and see the show. And then it took them like a year to take me on.
See, it's long.
Still.
It's not like just like that.
No.
Right.
No, it wasn't just instant because I still needed to build up TV and film credits. I had a lot of theatre, but nothing major in the TV and film and no American credits for TV and film. So they kind of kept their eye on me for a year and then they ended up signing me.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how did you do film and TV to get those credits?
How did I do it?
Yeah.
Again, luck. I would. I did have another agent and manager who I was working with before, so they would send me out to a few bits and pieces, and then people that I'd made friends with would you know, send me for auditions for things that they knew people that were working on, and it's kind of word of mouth and referral until eventually I got some good credits on my resume, and then they took me on.
Great. So, I mean, yes, there was luck there, but you put yourself in the right place, you know? You made yourself available and people noticed you and things like that.
I mean, I'm really hardworking. I get up at 5:30 every day.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I go to sleep at 5:30.
Good God. I'm like, Jesus. So, and when do you do at 5:30?
I like to work out first thing in the morning.
And then is it like going to, you know, submit? What is
it? Yeah, submit, rehearsals, practicing for auditions, meeting up with my friends, kind of creating work for ourselves.
Self-generating.
That's cool. So what time do you go to bed if you're able to get up at 5:30?
I am so boring. I like to go to bed early. I like to be in bed by 10.
Yeah, that's very early. But you get your 7.5 hours. There you go.
I wish I could do that.
I actually don't need a lot of sleep. So
really?
I'm fine. Yeah, but like, I think it's so cute that she goes to bed at 10.
Nobody wants to date me because I say I'm such a grandma.
That's what I was wondering. Can I ask? So first of all, my two things in my head was, A, that's so like grandma, and B, are you dating anyone?
No, because I think I'm too boring.
That's a hard schedule.
Yeah,
you need like a doctor or something.
Or you need someone who loves the morning, early morning, like you.
A gym rat. Yeah.
Maybe a personal trainer.
Yeah.
Not even work out, but someone who likes to get up early. You know, I mean, if I could, I would. You know, I love the mornings. I love early mornings. You know,
get out of here.
No, really.
What are you doing?
But I go to sleep late, so I can't. You know, really? I mean, I just then I don't get any sleep.
Have you always been like that?
I adjusted to it. But last night I went to see The Bodyguard at the Pantages.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm so tired today because I didn't go to bed till like 11:30.
Hold on, folks. She's losing it. Well, fireworks.
I mean, but that's longevity for you. You know, you're not putting yourself through through the ringer like some people do, you know what I'm saying?
That's why your skin looks so good.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, some people are like drugs, you know, sleeping, all this stuff, you know.
And
you're healthy.
Yeah, especially coming to LA and being like, hey, let's start. You could have been, and as like a model, you could have gotten those clubs so easily, but
the thing is, if I do go to a club, then I don't really like to drink, so they'll be passing me drinks and I give them to my friends to take the water or the Diet Coke. So I do still go out and have fun,
sure,
but I'm not like a crazy party girl.
Nice.
Right.
But my grandma lived to be nearly 105.
Wow.
So hopefully I'm going to follow in her footsteps.
Really? Do you want to live that long?
Hell,
I mean, was she healthy at
she
that
was
age?
Yeah,
really?
She only passed away in October, so she would have been 105 on the 2nd of May. And that's who I lived with part-time before I came to LA.
So she was with it?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
My grandmother-in-law is 102.
Whoa.
Yeah, and she lives with she and her son, my father-in-law, who's like 78. It's just weird that they go on walks together.
Oh,
and
it's so cute.
Yeah, it's funny. It's wow, so funny.
Very yeah, interesting longevity. Stuff, yeah, yeah.
We're living longer and longer.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's get a little bit, let's go a little bit about into your career and stuff, mm-hmm. because I wanted to know, what are some of the things you've been doing lately then, since you came here? You said, have you done theater here at all?
Yeah, I've done a lot of theater here. I did that show at the Geffen, and then I went back to the Geffen the year before last. They were doing a production of These Paper Bullets, which was a modern day version of Much Ado About Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But they had bought the theatre company from New York, but they asked me to be an understudy because it was British characters.
Mm.
And I got to go on because the girl got sick one night.
No.
So, yeah. So I got on the stage and I had the best time.
I bet you did.
And then after that, I did a Ray Cooney play. And Ray Cooney is like a classic British playwright, and I think he's like nearly 90, and he was in the show with us. He was hysterical. It was a farce, an English
farce.
I
love English farce.
And I also did a show that we went to New York with, and as I said, we went to Edinburgh with it. So I've been doing a lot of theatre.
Very cool. Yeah. Yeah. So this is funny because I'm glad you brought this up with Ray Cooney, because I was just gonna. I just saw you played along Cooney, and I thought it said Clooney.
Oh,
I was gonna ask you about this.
George Clooney.
I would embarrass the shit out of myself, but that's what I read here.
But I would love to see George Clooney.
I'm sure you would.
He'd be great.
He'd be very, very good. He'd be very bad. I bet he'd be terrible, actually.
Really?
He was not a good Batman, so you have to be.
Yeah,
good.
I know you said that. I actually, to me, was my favorite.
George Clooney?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Because I always envisioned Batman to be like this tough guy, although the other ones were tough too.
Yeah.
You know.
Everyone has their own Batman.
Michael Keaton sort of surprised, you know, pleasantly surprised.
Oh, I loved him.
I think.
But, Christian Bale is
Christian
good.
Bale was good, you see. But I couldn't connect to Christian Bale as much as I could to George Clooney.
See, I couldn't connect because of the nipple things on the bat suit. That movie was so bad. I loved
but
it.
But that's not his fault, right?
It was just a bad movie altogether. It wasn't his fault. It was just bad all around.
You see, I don't remember which movie he was in.
He
you
was
know
in the
I mean?
One where Arnold was like, free.
Oh, yeah.
That's chill out.
Okay, right.
And I was like, all right, we're good.
And the Penguin too, right?
No, that was
Danny DeVito, wasn't that?
That was
the same one.
Wasn't that Keaton?
I think that was Keaton. The first one. You're right.
Danny DeVito. Wow. That's the classic.
I can't even keep track of all these
Batman
movies.
I know, there's so many.
Movies,
I know.
You know?
What kind of movies would you want to be in if you want? What's your dream?
Well, I actually love Goldie Hawn. So
any of
the movies that she's done.
Private Benjamin, all of those. Yeah. Overboard.
Yeah. Oh, God, I love that film.
Me too.
And I also love Meryl Streep and her in her Death Becomes Her.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's like my ideal role.
Private Benjamin.
Yeah.
Remember
yeah, I
said
that
it. One?
Yeah, I said
oh,
it.
You did say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, it shows me where I am. But at any rate... So I, for those of you joining us, we're almost at the end of the show, but we're talking to Katie Amis, a British actress and model. Are you doing any modeling too, still?
I'm not really. I did beauty pageants when I was in England, but really at the moment I'm doing a lot of TV and films. So that's what I want
right.
to focus on.
So, did you win those pageants, any of them?
Some of them. But the pageants aren't really the same in England as they are here. It's like three people enter, so you got a good chance.
And it's not like cutthroat.
No, not at all.
It's very strange. Yeah. So what TV have you done out here?
We're actually very excited.
Yes, let's hear.
I'm going to be on Criminal Minds Beyond Borders tonight.
Yay! Oh, my God.
Wow. Yeah, at 10 o'clock on CBS.
This is so cool.
How cool is that? What kind of role do you have in it? What do you play?
I play a British girl. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
My name's Sandy Weeks, and the episode is set in Jamaica. And basically a killer is on the loose.
Were you in Jamaica?
We didn't go to Jamaica, okay. Which I was sad about. We went to some ranch, like somewhere not too far, but I had the best time filming, and that cast and crew was absolutely amazing. So yeah, that's at 10 o'clock tonight. And then about 2 weeks ago, I was also on, it's called Bull. It's on CBS as well with Michael Weatherly.
Wow.
So I got to go to New York to film that.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Very cool. So it's a fun work when you can get it, right?
Yeah, I have the best time. And I've been doing a few CBS shows, so that's kind of my jam.
And as long as you can kind of get in with the CBS people and you get to really know them, the better it is. Because they'll get to bring you back in.
Yeah, they do. And I love working for that network. So I'm really excited about the show tonight.
So you became Mary from Three Men and a Little Lady.
I'm not quite at that stage yet, but hopefully.
You're the British girl in Criminal
Minds. Oh, yeah.
mine. Right. Yeah. Dreams can come true.
There you go. You see, you got to follow your dreams, folks. But you got to have dreams first.
Yes.
I think everybody has dreams. It's just maybe some people are afraid to dream because, you know, it's like maybe a privilege that I don't want to. I don't want to disappoint myself.
Sure.
And so, but no, you got to reach for the stars, man. I mean, who's going to stop
you? Have one life.
You know?
Yeah, that's why I always say life is too short.
I know.
And my dad always says, well, if you give up, what if the next job that you book was going to be the one?
But guess what? You can keep telling yourself that all day. This is my problem. I've reached a point where I keep saying that, where I'm like, well, what if I give up and then the next job is it? And I'm like, But I've said that I don't know.
Right.
So I'm very inspired by you.
Thank you.
And Sam on his birthday, and we'll continue dreaming.
Yes, absolutely. We'll continue dreaming. It's funny because I'm looking here on your thing here, and it's funny on Wikipedia, and it's funny how they tell everything about you, right? I mean, I guess when you're a celebrity, you expect that, right? You're in the public eye and everything.
Well, you want to make sure it's what accurate.
Yeah,
for you,
I mean, but her parents' names are here, her birth date, and everything like that. So that's pretty cool.
Well, it's the age of the internet, isn't it? Everybody.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's on the internet, so there's nothing to hide, you know. But so this is interesting. I just wanted to ask you about being the daughter of an MP, really. Mm. I mean, did you have did you feel you have a privileged childhood?
Well, the thing is, MPs get, like, not that much money. I don't think it's, like, public service.
Right, but it's not so much the money as the status, right?
Well, my dad was in the British Parliament before I was even born, so I guess I didn't know anything different. But, like, growing up, I would always be at the House of Commons and meeting, like, the Prime Minister and, like, Princess Diana and popes and things. So I guess it was unusual looking back, but I didn't know any different.
Right.
That's incredible.
Now, did that make you want to be involved in politics?
Absolutely not.
No, it doesn't interest you at all.
And none of my siblings. We don't have
none of them?
No.
Wow.
Because we grew up in that household, and it's
Didn't seem that attractive,
It's hard. Yeah, it's a totally... Yeah, so I was going on and on about politics, and I was like, oh, yeah, I should bring her in on this, but yeah.
Well, I don't know about American politics either, but I actually thought it was a joke that he would be the president. I literally, and then I woke up and I was like, wait, I'm still dreaming. But it was.
I think a lot of people did that. And you know what's really sad? People awaking from comas, doctors are having a hard time explaining when they say, who's the president?
Yeah.
And they have to say Donald Trump. They're like, they think they're not,
they're
not in reality.
Right. I have to remind myself every day when TV and they say President Trump. I'm like, I can't believe he's a president.
I know, he's a baboon.
But I remember in 2008, I came here when it was, I think Obama was trying to be the president.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I said to my friend, why is this orange man that runs the beauty pageant? Why does he keep saying that he's going to try and be president? And my friend said, it's a joke.
It'll
he does
never,
it every time. It will never
he does,
happen.
That's right.
So when he was elected, I text my friend, oh, joke was it?
Yeah,
I can't believe
that was like the shock of the century.
And my father,
so
I'm from DC. My father's in politics. And he was like, there is no way that he will win. And I was all right, I trust everything he says.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Guys, we have 2 minutes. Let me light my candle here. Okay, I have a candle on my cake. And that's my happy birthday cake.
Are you going to make a wish?
From a secret fan that always makes sure I'm happy.
Aww.
And
that is so nice.
In fact, I forgot I'm on the radio. I have a few big wishes, not just one.
Okay.
Does that work? I mean, can you do that? Can you wish for more than one
thing? I think it's unlimited. It's your birthday.
Yeah.
You really?
I think you can.
Okay,
we're saying yes.
Yeah.
We're saying yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're singing. Okay. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Sam. Happy birthday to you.
Yay. Yeah, man.
Thank you, guys. You're awesome. Thank you, Luna.
Of course.
Awesome. For those of you who want to know, I'm friggin' 57 years old.
Whoa,
an old fart.
35.
But you know what? At least people tell me you don't look it. So
you don't.
I'm feeling good, you know?
You
that makes me feel
And what
good.
Do we always say to make ourselves feel better, Sam?
Yeah.
It's a privilege to get old that some people don't get.
Exactly. That's
that
what
makes
we
us,
say every day.
It makes us feel better for 5 minutes.
Exactly. Who would have thought I would have reached this age? I remember when I was a kid, I would think of the year 2000.
Yeah, I'd be like,
I would say, like, wow, that's so far away.
Yeah.
I would be 40 years old
Can you
when
imagine?
I was 2000.
Yeah.
So those were the
but
days.
But like, look how excited, I bet you as a kid looking at you as a Snapchat at 57, hosting your own show, owning your own radio station, your kid would be like, yeah, dude, we're killing it.
I would love that. Yeah, I would have started a lot earlier too.
That's right.
If I knew, right?
But we always have those.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But the spotlight back on Katie. Katie Amos, tell people how they can find you if they want to contact you, hire you, marry you.
Marry me, Prince Harry, or Zac Efron. I like him as well.
Doesn't he so cute? Oh my god!
So my manager's a Vanguard Management Group, and I also am on Twitter. It's just at Katie Amos, and I have a Facebook page, Katie Amos Actress, as well.
Right, then it's A M E S S.
That's it.
And Katie, the traditional way.
Yep.
And thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you for having
me. Lovely.
Of course, you're so much fun.
So inspiring.
Thank you.
Yes, and we wish you much more success and everything in what you do, because you deserve it. What the heck, you know?
Yeah, she's lucky.
Yeah, exactly.
And she does good work.
Even if you didn't have a tough childhood, you deserve it. What the hell?
She made all her money herself. That's totally true. Every single cent.
That's true. Anyway, Katie, thanks again.
Thank you, and happy birthday.
And yes, thank you, and come back to visit us.
I will.
And everybody, watch your shows again. When are they?
Tonight at 10 o'clock on CBS.
Yes.
Yes, and that show is what?
Criminal Minds. Beyond Borders.
Beyond Borders, yeah. Okay. I'm going to catch
so
that.
So many of them.
I know, right? Well, I don't know what shows there are. Under the sea. You know, I got to tell you, by the way, just to tease this, I joined Netflix finally.
Oh.
And I watched Black Mirror.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you didn't tell me this.
Yeah, I know. And but we do have to go, so we'll talk about it tomorrow. Okay.
Good tease.
But yeah, absolutely. But I did remember you telling me not to watch the first episode.
Did you?
And no, I just saw the tease, the text. I said, I don't want to watch this. Okay, I know what it's about. Anyway.
Happy birthday. You make my dreams
thank
come
you guys.
True.
Thank you so
thanks,
much,
Sam.
Guys. You're awesome. And thanks, everybody, for all the birthday wishes on Facebook, on text, by phone. I do feel special today, and that's a great thing. I don't need to do amazing things to feel special as long as people just make you feel you're loved and wanted.
That's
you
right.
know? That's all we all want, bottom line.
Bottom line.
Have a great day, everybody, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.